I better turn this thing off. Okay. It's June the 19th, 2022 at Zion Baptist Church. We continue with reconciling the world unto Himself. I trust that you had much opportunity this week to declare the gospel and to proclaim the truth of God's Word amongst people that you were able to come in contact with. I was around some folks that I did not know this week doing things that I had to do, take care of. So I had a good opportunity and was able to share the gospel and let them know I'd be praying for them. And the second day that I had been praying for them, that the Lord would give me opportunity to preach to them and to declare the gospel to them. They, like most people, they did not... These were foreigners from Honduras, Guatemala, not going to church, come out of the Roman Catholic, and remind me to tell my son Jeremy, Corey, don't call me Padre no more. Jeremy calls me Padre, and one of those guys from Honduras told me, he said, no. Padre, that's a Catholic priest. He said, and anybody that's called Padre, the world in the Catholic Church knows that they're perverts, molesting children. He said, Padre, bad word. I said, well, I'll tell my son, don't be calling me that no more. So, but anyway, I did have opportunity to declare the gospel to them, and they, like most people, do not have a standard about what's right and what's wrong. So I'm encouraging you again today, like last week and the week before and the week before, to warn people of the judgment of God that's coming upon those who do not keep His Word and be obedient to His commands and His will. And the only way to know that is by reading the book. Read the Word of God. And do it the best that you can. And pray for help. Pray for wisdom that the Spirit of God leads you and guides you into all truth. Because otherwise you can read it from the day you can learn to read till the day you die, and it'll do you no benefit, like it was with the Pharisees. Did not profit them, though they knew the Word. They were self-righteous people. They thought because of what they did, they were going to heaven. Now, who they were going to heaven. Not so. Not so. Now, we concluded... Let's read first here, the verse that we have. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Our God, we thank You for Your wonderful grace and mercy. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the reading of it this morning, and pray Your blessings upon it. Pray that You would feed Your people this morning, all over the world, all over these United States. And Father, that everywhere we go, we could declare the gospel. We could declare the Word of God everywhere we go. The judgment of God that's coming upon the ungodly. And according to this verse and all the scriptures that are written in the book, our sins are not imputed unto believers, the elect, those chosen. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. Let us live so. Let us bow to our King and our God and submit to His will and surrender our will to His. Have mercy upon us, Father, now, and help us this day. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. We'll go over our prayer list when I get through. We didn't go over it this morning, but we'll go over it when we finish here today. Now, we had started reading in the first part of the, all of chapter 5. We were reading there when we left off on the Lord's Day. And in verse 9 it says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now that scares some people, and it should. It should scare people. Should put fear in them. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's no doubt about it. "That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Should make people want to live as holy as they possibly can and pray for God to forgive them every day. Every day. I was told a while back, and I think I told you, just in case I didn't, I would, that it was wrong to ask God to forgive you of your sins. All believers should not ask God to forgive them of their sins, they told me. I said, "Do what?" He said, "He's already forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. You don't have to ask forgiveness. Matter of fact, it's an insult to God," he said, "for you to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, because He's already done that. And you're acting like He didn't, because you continue to ask forgiveness of your sins." I had to think just a minute. I said, no, that's not right. I said, any man, any person that's a born-again believer sees himself as he truly is in this life, a wretched, miserable, depraved sinner. And we plead with God every day to forgive us of our sins, even though we know we have been forgiven. And that according to this very verse, this very scripture that we just read, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The Lord Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven." I pray that every day. I try to have as much communion with the Father as I possibly can. "Our Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed me with His own blood. And I pray every day, many times a day, Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even for my children and my grandchildren, all of my posterity and all of yours, Guy Bounds, your boys." You ain't got no girls, have you? I didn't think so. "And Pappy's, and Brother Gerald, and Kay, and Sister Sandra, and Shane, His name almost slipped my mind. And for their folks, I pray for all of you people's children and grandchildren and your families, that God might draw nigh to thee. And the Lord Jesus said, when you pray, you say, and He just told you what to say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I know I've been forgiven. I still ask Him, Father, forgive me, because I sin every day. In my mind, in my words, in my deeds. I don't want to. And this very book, this very chapter, lets us know just how wretched we are. Knowing therefore, verse 11, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror. That word terror means fearness, the fearfulness of God. Knowing therefore the terror. How just that God is in all of His dealings. He's as just as He is holy. And if you have unpaid for sins, if you have sins that have not been paid for, if you have sins that have not been forgiven, you are going to pay for those sins. Or no, you cannot pay for them, but you are going to suffer eternity trying to. You cannot. It's impossible. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It is our responsibility, it is our duty to persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience. We're convincing people of the terror of the Lord. We're convincing people that God that created everything that there is, and it's not hard to tell people that kind of stuff. And anything can open the door. Any word that they speak to you, just to strike up a conversation with you, just open the door for you to let them know about the terror of the Lord and that all men will stand before Him. And that everybody that has sinned against Him, and that includes everybody that's ever been born of a woman, everybody has sinned and broken the commandments of God. Therefore, justice must be done. There is a penalty for our sins. And that penalty is eternal damnation of our souls. Except the debt be paid. The penalty of sin is eternal damnation. But the Lord Jesus purchased and paid for, satisfied God the Father with His own blood, with His own life, for the sins of His people. We are to convince people of that very thing. That every sin that has not been satisfied by the Lord Jesus will require eternal damnation of your souls. When you draw your last breath, you will lift your eyes, being tormented within the flames of hell's fire for eternity. I know people contemplating life and death, especially younger fellas, women, think, well, I have plenty of time. You have one more breath to take. Because when you draw your last breath, it's all over with. That's what the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. For it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Persuade men. Convince them. That's what that word means, persuades. Convince people. Convince them with the laws of nature. Convince them with the Word of God that there's only one standard that we have to go by. And these United States have forsaken this standard. Most people have no idea that there is a standard to go by to decide what's right and what's wrong. There is. And people say, well, not everybody believes in God. Not everybody are Christian people. That matters not. Got no bearing on the subject whatsoever. In these United States, when we were founded, our laws were based upon God's holy word. What God said was wrong and unlawful, and what God said was right. And they made laws accordingly. No more is it so in these United States. But you cannot have a decent society. You cannot have a decent government without the standard being the Word of God and the laws abiding by. Doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what faith that you may be of. The laws still have to coordinate to the Word of God. They have to if you're going to have a decent society. You say, well, what about heathens that care not, that they don't even believe there is a God? I could care less what they believe or what they think. The laws of a decent society must be based upon the Word of God. Or you have what we have today. They've done away with the Word of God and they've done away with our laws according to the Word of God. Now you can do anything you want. They even want to kill babies that have been born now. That have actually birthed and are alive. They want to leave it up to mother whether to kill them or not. Yeah. They're trying to do that now in some states. And give them up to 28 days to decide. So no doubt, no wonder that God's judgment is coming upon this. And I know there are people who want to believe that the rapture is going to happen and God's going to take His people out and we're not going to go through all that. I don't find that in my book. I find the day of the great God. The day of God. The day that the Lord Jesus returns, and that's the end of time. And that's when we'll stand before the judgment seat. And that's when He will separate the sheep from the goats. And the goats will be on the left and the sheep will be on the right. And He will tell the sheep, enter, thou blessed of God. Enter! And the rest He will condemn to eternal damnation. That's the way I read the book. Now, if you want to believe that people said, well, we're not called unto the wrath of God. No, we're not. We're sure not. I believe everything that the book says, and we're not called unto the wrath of God. But we will suffer. We're called unto suffering. Our whole journey through this life is suffering. It's battling the devil and self and Satan and sin every day. That's part of our life. And it does us good to do that. It's good for us. And the older you get, the more you see yourself a sinner. the more you... I ask the Lord daily, Lord, how will I ever see the city? How will I ever see the celestial city? As wicked as I am, how will I see? It is only by the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that I'll ever cross Jordan and enter into that city. It is not because anything that I've ever done. Ever. Not nothing. Even in our most sacred services, even in our Lord's Supper, we sing. Our motives are wrong. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Woo! How many times have I read that verse this week and contemplated what it has to say? The apostle says, for we commend not ourselves again unto you. In other words, we're not bragging, or we're not trying to build ourselves up to you again. We've told you, and you know who we are, and you know how we behaved ourselves when we were among you Corinthians. You know that. We're not trying to commend our, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf. In other words, that the apostle was persuading men and preaching the gospel to them, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance. Now, I had to read a little bit about that one. That you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance. Now, they were false apostles and they were false teachers and preachers in the church that were knocking the apostle Paul. Especially the Jews everywhere he went. But not only Jews, but Gentile Christian people, so-called, were trying to build themselves up, and that's what he's saying here, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance. That means in the face. More true today than it was then. There are people that are more concerned with not only how they look, but how they look to other people. Not just in their physical condition and their physical appearance, but how they look to other people and what they say and what they don't say. How they behave themselves. How they talk about that. In other words, do you offend people? That's a bad thing these days. It's all over the news. It's always the subject about people being offended. Well, if the Word of God offends you, I'm sorry, but you've just been offended by the truth. And I don't want to be ugly, and I don't want to be mean to people. And those Hondurans and those Guatemalans that I was around this week, I didn't want to offend them, but I was not going to hold back the truth of God's Word when talking to them. Because there is a standard. There is right and there is wrong. And it's not what the majority says is right or is wrong. It's what God's Word says is right and is wrong. That you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in the heart. And the apostle was concerned about what was in the heart. Because it's in the heart where the Spirit of God births a man and makes him spiritually alive so that he turns from his sin to worship God. And he has a desire to do that. Does he do it perfectly? No. There are some that do it better than others. There are some who have more grace than others given to them, that they may walk a more holy life than others. But it's all done according to God's will and according to His purpose for you on this earth. And God knows how to humble His people. You become self-righteous, or you begin to think that you're doing real good in the way that you live and the way that you talk and the way that you act. He will break you down like a double-barrel shotgun and make you bow before Him, humbling you to show you that you are nothing and that you've never done one thing worthy of entering the kingdom of God. Not one. It is purely by grace. And the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 39, He said, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." We're not worthy of it. We do not deserve it. And people become self-righteous when they think they deserve something because of what they've done or what they did. They become self-righteous. But here, "And this is the Father's will." It is all about the Father's will. That's the reason we pray daily, "Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, I realize that you want your children to be saved. You want your grandchildren to be saved. Tristan's been sick. His head, he's just been a sick, sick fella. And my prayer's been, "Lord, please lay your hand upon him." I even texted him and said, "May the Father put His eternal loving hand upon my grandson. And may He call him by His grace." But the last part of my text was, "Father, Thy will be done." Whatever that is. I mean, who would not want the Father's will to be done? And this is the Father's will. It was always been about the Father's will, because He's God. He's almighty, He's all powerful, He's all knowing, He's all loving, He's all omniscient, He's all omnipresent, He's everywhere all the time. He's omnipotent. He's God. And He does as He pleases. And we are to bow to that, whatever it is. "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Now, I know everybody thinks everybody's going to heaven, nobody's going to hell. The world, I mean, thinks that. You can tell how funerals go that nobody ever goes to hell. Well, you know and I know that that's just not the truth. And preachers should not preach people into heaven just because they walked the aisle when they were 10 years old and accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, never darkened the doors again or never read the book again. Never had no desire to. "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Then the Jews then murmured at Him because He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." This is John chapter 6. Boy, if you want to proclaim the gospel to somebody, just turn to John chapter 6 and go to reading. "Because He said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I know what people think. I know how they talk. I know how they believe. I wonder what they do when they read that. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Drag him. That's what the word draw means. Drag him. Lest God the Father drags him to me, he can't come. That does not fit the purpose of pastors these days, of evangelists these days. That does not fit in their scheme of things. They want to make sure that everybody thinks in their mind that they can come at any time they want to and trust in Christ or make a decision for Him and be forevermore saved. That's not what that says. But they can't get people to come down the aisle and accept Jesus and be baptized or dunked in the water and join the church if they preach this. They have to preach a gospel where they control, or you control yourself when you come, and you can come anytime you want to, and you can be saved. That's not what this says. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You must be born from above. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That don't include everybody. That includes those that the Lord Jesus would die for and pay the penalty of sin in their room instead, and them alone. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him, because they said, this is a hard saying. Don't be surprised when you preach the truth of the gospel and you try to persuade men of the standard of God's word that they will not believe. And then Jesus asked the 12, will you also go away? The truth offends people. It always has. They hung Jesus on the cross because they were offended by what he preached. You cannot expect any less. If you will declare the truth to people, they will be offended. And most of them will hate you. But that's got nothing to do with you declaring the gospel. It's got nothing to do with you telling them the truth and persuading them. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because they are still elect out there that are not yet converted, that need to hear the truth. And when they hear it, when the Spirit of God opens their eyes and their ears that they can hear the truth, they're coming. Isn't that what he said? Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. They're coming. So just because the mass majority of the people that you talk to, the mass majority of the people that you declare the gospel to and the truth of God's word are not going to believe and are going to hate you for declaring such a thing. They did the same thing to the apostles. They did the same thing to the Lord Jesus. That's no reason for us not. And in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication," throwing a slur at him, like he was. "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he hath sent me. And why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." Jesus was telling those Jews that he was talking to, "You have your father the devil. You can't hear my words, even though I speak plainly to you. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do." Now, these were Pharisees. I mean, these were the most religious people on the earth. And Jesus was telling them, "Your father's the devil. And the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." The sheep hear the word of God. They read the word of God. They understand the word of God. And they will not hear another. They will not believe or follow another. They will not waver from the truth of God's word. They do not fear death. They're not worried about people hating them. They want to be obedient to God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They want to. Are they always? No, they're not. Does it vex their soul? Yes, it does. It vexes them because they cannot do what they want to do. They want to be perfect, and they cannot be. Not yet. They will be on that great day, on the last day. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. People don't know anything about living, I don't think, till they get to be 60 or 1 or 2 or somewhere in there. Then they start to understand that my life don't mean one iota except I'm serving God. If I surrender my will for His will, if I give up all of my desires and all of my will and I bow before God the Father to do His will and to walk where He wants me to walk and to do what He wants me to do, now my life begins to mean something. And it vexes me when it does not. We have life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now see, that just really makes people mad. When you tell them there's only two kinds. There's only sheep and goats. You're either born a sheep or you're born a goat. I told those Hondurans and Guatemalans, one of them didn't speak any English, or I don't think understood any English. I told them, God made you like you are. He made you who you are. And He holds you accountable to seek after Him. There's only sheep and goats. Now all the sheep that are born in sin just like everybody else. And they wander from God. And they cannot come to Him until the Father draws them. But when He does, they're coming. Because they're sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. That's part of God's plan for His people. Did you hear that? That's part of God's will for His people. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Now why would God allow such for His own people? You remember Jerusalem? They didn't want to leave Jerusalem. But when the Roman army was coming, the Lord Jesus told them, head for yonder mountains. Get out of here. Because I'm coming to destroy. And He scattered them. And what happened? The gospel spread. And when they killed Stephen, they scattered. Fearful of their own lives, they scattered. And what happened? The gospel spread. And they went all over the world preaching the gospel. Sometimes we can't be led, we have to be driven. And God knows exactly how to do it. And His will be done. Even if He has to drive you to it, His will is going to be done. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. It is our responsibility to care for the sheep. And that's the reason we preach the gospel. That's the reason we declare the gospel everywhere we go, because we know there's sheep out there that need to hear the truth. Even some of them are converted. They still need to hear the truth. They've not been taught. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. and am known of mine. In other words, his sheep know him. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? And I know that unconverted sheep don't know that they're sheep. They don't know. And they wonder, how will I ever know? Come to the Lord Jesus. Well, you said, I can't come except the Father draw me. How do I know when the Father draws me? When you see yourself a filthy, wretched, depraved sinner, bound for hell, and your desire is to flee from that place as quick as you can, and you come running with tears in your eyes and terror in your heart, he's called you. And you don't go to no preacher. You fall before the cross. And you plead with the Lord Jesus to have mercy on your soul. He's called you. Talk to a preacher this week. Calls himself a preacher. Don't know a whole lot about the scriptures. He's a recovering drug addict and tries to help other drug addicts. He's been off the dope for many years now. Got a family, children, and he's preaching. And had to explain things to him according to what the scripture says, just like I explained to you. He said, people want to know, how do I know that God called me to preach? He said, how do you know God called you to preach? I said, because if you can do anything else, do it. If you can do anything else besides preach, do it. Don't preach. Because you ain't been called. But if it burns in your soul, if it burns in your heart and your mind, and you can't do nothing but preach, I don't mean pastor a church or be behind the pulpit. I'm talking about you got to preach. You've been called. No doubt about it. If you can't hold like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, if there's a fire burning in you, and you can't do nothing else but preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. For the love of Christ constraineth us, holds us, keeps us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We'll stop there for today. Hope you have a good Lord's Day. They call it Father's Day. We call it the Lord's Day. And I hope that children honor their fathers. I hope they honor their ancestry by being good Christian people and doing what it's told us to do in the book. Brother Guy, if you ask the Lord's blessings on us, we'll be dismissed.